God, thank you for today. And I thank you for every mom in this room. Thanks that we can just take time to honor and to bless, have some fun. God, you tell us to honor our moms. We want to do that not only here in this room, but with our own moms and as children that we do that. And we thank you so much, God, for this opportunity. Teach us what you'd have us learn. We just love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you do have a handout. If you want to pull that out, we'll follow along. Three moms worth imitating. Like I mentioned, the first one, Moses' mom. She was a woman of sacrifice. She was a woman of faith. She was a Levite, a religious woman, a woman who feared God. And Moses' mom was asked to do something that no mom should ever be asked to do, and that was to kill her children. In fact, all the Hebrew women were asked to kill their children at this time. The leader of the known world, the Pharaoh of Egypt at this time, had given an edict that every Hebrew baby boy that was born was to be drowned in the Nile River. The midwives were instructed by law they had to kill all the baby boys. So let's just pick up the story here in Exodus chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2 says this: Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant. Time, the leader, and gave birth to a son. That's Moses. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Instead of killing him, like the law demanded, she hid him, which was putting her own life in peril. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister, Moses' sister, stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking with her along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it up and saw a baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister, Moses' big sister, asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother, which was her mom, which is Moses' mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. So the mom, Moses' mom, now had Moses back and was actually paid by Pharaoh to nurse the baby. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of water." You see, God honors and protects the godly family. There's just a number of lessons we can learn from Moses' mother, her courage, her sacrifice, her willingness to do what's right, even though it was against the law of the land. In fact, that's a principle we should all understand, is that we obey the law of the land. God calls us to do that in Romans. We're called to obey our authorities, but there are times if their laws are unjust and unbiblical, ungodly, like this law, kill your children. Well, we would say we're going to obey God rather than man. Does that make sense? But that may cost you. And it could have cost her a lot, but she applied faith, and we need to learn that as mothers. We need to make sure that we are ones that are sacrificing for our families, doing what's right in God's eyes for our children. And God will honor and protect you. And I love the different ways that we see God here turning the tables. If you've read the Bible much, you see that we have a table-turning God. He loves just to flip things upside down when it looks like young Joseph is going to be sold into oblivion as a slave. All of a sudden, God raises him up to lead Egypt. God turned the tables. We see stories in the Bible all the time where God just loves to flip it around. There's an irony. And I think it gives us hope in our own lives, in our own marriages, in our own raising of our children, at our jobs, when we think things are going really bad here. Well, wait a minute. I have a God that can flip things upside down. And we see it here several times in the story of Moses. One irony is this, is that the name Moses, as we just learned, the name Moses literally means taken out of water, that Moses means taken out of the water, literally. And we know that Moses, as a baby, was taken out by Pharaoh's family and raised by Pharaoh himself and his daughter, taken out of water. And the irony is that Moses later on would take the children of Israel out of Egypt through water, through the Red Sea. As God parted it, Moses took the children out of water and saved them from Pharaoh once again. That's an irony. That's God coming through. That's God saying, I'm in control of this. Another irony that I picked up was that the Hebrew children were supposed to be drowned in the water. Pharaoh commanded that. So Pharaoh was really taking children out of families and robbing mothers of their babies and telling the moms to kill their children in the water. I think what's ironic is that Moses was saved out of water, but who ended up dying in water? Pharaoh did. God drowned Pharaoh and his whole army as they were chasing Moses through the Red Sea. It says the water came crashing down and killed the whole army and killed Pharaoh. That's an irony. Pharaoh was trying to kill the Hebrew children. Hebrew children escaped and he drowned. God turned the tables on Pharaoh. You know, it's interesting too, just a sidebar, is that when different archaeological articles I've read, when they discover in the pyramids some of the tombs that were made for the pharaohs and the princes and the leaders of Egypt in the time of Moses, as the Exodus just got done happening, when they find those tombs, you know what they find? They're empty. I mean, they had to build them way ahead of time. They knew this little baby was going to be a prince and he'd be buried here, so they'd make them, but they're empty. And why is that? It's because Pharaoh and his army are at the bottom of the Red Sea. They're dead. They're dead. And if you read in history, I just read an article this week that the dynasty that took over after the Pharaoh that was leading Egypt in Moses' time, so after the Exodus, the next group of people that led Egypt, it says in the record in archaeology that they took over Egypt without a fight. I just read that this week. Now, why is that? Because the army is dead at the bottom of the Red Sea. There was no army to defend Egypt. The next dynasty just walked right in and took over. And that's what history tells us. That's an irony. Pharaoh was trying to kill Hebrew children. God says, oh no, I'm going to kill you and your whole army in water. You don't mess with God. We have a very powerful God. I love the irony that Moses' mom was, in theory, going to be robbed of her children, yet ended up having Pharaoh paying her to raise her children. Again, financially, if you're having a hard time and you just need to do what's right, like Moses' mom, be a woman of courage and faith and sacrifice. Do the next right thing, and God can turn the tables on your circumstances. He can. In fact, he gets a lot of glory when we do that, when we trust him. Think about it. Who is Pharaoh? Who is he? What's his name? What is his family like? What do we know about the Pharaoh who told Moses, you can't go, and who drowned in the Red Sea? What do we know about him? We don't know much. What do you know about Moses, the one who was supposed to die? We know all about him. In fact, he wrote a bestseller that you probably have. It's called the Bible. We know a lot about Moses, and God honored him, and God flipped the tables, and the most powerful man on the planet at the time, Pharaoh, you don't know anything about him. You don't even care. Yet Moses, an obscure Hebrew baby, we all know about him, and Christians revere him, Muslims revere him. That's a table-turning God. We can trust him. We can trust him. But we know there's also a cost, like I mentioned, for Moses' mother. It could have cost her. It ended up did costing her when she finally had to give the baby to Pharaoh's daughter. But we just want to acknowledge today that being a mother is the hardest job on the planet. In fact, I want to show you a video that some of you have seen before. It's 4 minutes, but it's going to bless your heart. If you've seen it before, you'll be so glad to see it again. If you've never seen it, it's a very touching, poignant way to help you understand the cost of being a mother. So let's watch that, and I'll be right back up.
Give me 1 second. Thank
sure.
you. Sorry. Uh-huh. Hey. Hi. 2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about
hey,
that.
Hey, Oi.
Hi, nice Hi. To meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is gonna go up, and we demand that. With a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
Worry about when there's time to sleep, or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all-encompassing, almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is gonna pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono, completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
Oh!
And they meet every requirement, don't they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best.
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours. They're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
Might want to call your mom today. It's a good reminder. You know, as to lighten it up just a little bit, I was reminded of a second grade class that the teacher was giving a lesson on magnets for the whole week there. The kids were learning about magnets. And at the end of the week, she gave them a written test. And one of the questions on the test was this. My name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick things up. Who am I? And she was amazed to find that over 50% of her class wrote mother. Yeah? Amen. Moms, you do a lot. That is one of them for sure. We love our kids. We love them, but sometimes they drive us crazy. So I love showing this quote from Mark Twain. He says, when children turn 2 years old, you should put them in a pickle barrel and feed them through the hole. When they turn 13, you should plug the hole. Good old Mark Twain. And a lot of us, maybe you're already there, but you will experience empty nest sometime, and that can be a sad thought. But also, there's some upsides to being an empty nester, as Irma Bombeck, she's a great writer, she wrote this. She says that no one ever told me that the empty nest is having the phone ring, and it's for you. It's having leftovers in the refrigerator that you can count on. It's having hot water in the shower, ice cubes in the freezer, and gas in your car. It's like being reborn. Moses' mom was a woman of sacrifice. God will honor you, moms, as you live and sacrifice and protect and pay a price to raise the next generation. Here's the next mom we're going to look at, Hannah. She's a woman to imitate. She's a woman of prayer. As I mentioned, she is the prophet Samuel's mother, and we know a lot about her. She was desperate at one point for God. She's a praying mom, and a praying mom is a powerful force. Can I hear an amen on that? A praying mom is a powerful force, and Hannah is a woman to imitate when it comes to prayer. Are you a praying mom? Here's what it says about Hannah. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. She went to God with her trials, with her pressures, with what she was sensing, and she was faithful to pray. She was personally devoted to God. She was desperate, and God listened to her. In fact, the name Samuel literally means, the child she eventually had literally means heard by God, that she named the child, "You heard my prayer," and God had heard her prayer. She was desperate. Are you desperate in prayer for your children? Do you pray consistently? If not, don't feel bad, but I would really recommend that you make that a priority every day by name. Pray for your children because it has an effect. And here's the key. It doesn't just have an effect on your children, but it'll have an effect on their children and their children. And for generations to come, your prayers can have an impact. Be a woman of prayer. Your prayers are powerful. You know, I've seen that with my wife. She's a godly woman. I told the crowd last night that one of the reasons I loved her and one of the reasons I'm so glad I married her is because God has answered my prayer and given me a woman who loves him more than she loves me. That's the kind of woman I've got. And we've been married for 29 years. And very rarely do I not see her applying faith. She is continually pursuing her relationship with Christ. And she does that on her own. I don't have to prod her. She loves Jesus. And I know my boys, I have four boys, 24 years, 22, 19, and 17. The first two are married, and the last two are still at home. We pray for their future wives. I've been praying since they were born for their wives. And God has been faithful, hasn't he, honey, with our first two daughter-in-laws. They're gold. God has answered our prayer, so we're praying fervently for the other two. But my kids are going to have a memory like I have a memory of my wife on the couch with her Bible open and her journal, seeking God, and she has her devotional with her, and that's who my wife is every day. I can't remember too many days where that's not where she's at. Typically, she'll get up before me. Her alarm goes off at 5:45, and I just lay in bed like a slug until I smell the coffee, and then I make my way downstairs, and there's my wife on the couch with her Bible, seeking God, and she prays for our children. And I know our children are blessed because of her. She's a Proverbs 31 woman. There's no doubt about it. Our children are blessed because of her. And your children can be blessed because of you. Are you a woman of prayer? Prayer works. Here's just a couple testimonies, a couple good quotes from Glenn Wheeler. He's a pastor in Indiana. He said, "Many a man has kept straight because his mother bent her knee." I think that's true. Abraham Lincoln said, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they've always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." I like that picture of a mother's prayers clinging to their children. Do you pray? Are you a woman like Hannah? Do you pray? Are you a woman of sacrifice like Moses' mother? Let's look at a third set of women. We'll put these two women together, Lois and Eunice. It's a mother and grandmother, like I mentioned, of young Timothy, the protege of the Apostle Paul, one of the Apostle Paul's good disciples who actually traveled with Paul and started churches and built the churches up. And we're sitting here in part because of Timothy and Paul's relationship with him. And Timothy's mother and grandmother had great influence on that young man. And again, that has gone down through the centuries and affected us today. There's a real impact on our world because of Lois and Eunice, who were the grandmother and mother of Timothy. And that's because moms have an unbelievable opportunity to mold and to shape children. God gives you that opportunity. And he did with Lois, and he did with Eunice. Here's the verse I want to share with you. Again, keep in mind, this is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to Timothy, to this young man who is a godly man who became one of his right-hand guys and helped change the world. And he says this, he makes this observation about Timothy's family. He says, "Timothy, I've been reminded about your sincere faith. You're a man of faith. But don't forget, it first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded now lives in you also." You see the influence, the impact that these women had on Timothy, which impacted the world. And I love this verse for one reason. My grandmother's name was also Lois, and I always think of her when I read this verse. But this speaks of impact. And not just one generation, but think how many generations have gone by and we're still influenced today by the faith of Timothy, which started in his mother and his grandmother, which means they had to be intentional in passing their faith on to their son. This is not a passive job you have, moms, when it comes to raising your children and imparting faith to them, like these women. To have influence, you cannot be passive. You must be intentional. I encourage you to be that way so you can have influence like D.L. Moody's mother had on him. He said, "The impression that a praying mother leaves upon her children is lifelong. Perhaps when you're dead and gone, your prayer will be answered." In other words, what he's saying is your prayers for your children right now will not just have an influence in this generation, but even when you're gone, for the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. It's that important that we are women of prayer, praying for our children and influencing them like Timothy's mom and grandmother did. James Baldwin, the great playwright, said, "Children have never been very good at listening to their elders, but they have never failed to imitate them," which speaks of our actions, how we're living our lives. Again, my kids know my wife is a godly woman, and they've seen it in her life for all these years, and they see her reading her Bible. They hear her out of her mouth teaching instruction of the Lord. They know she's a godly woman. That will impact them. And we see it even in, she hasn't seen it yet, but I get to read her Mother's Day card from my kids because I am the gatherer of all cards. You bring them to me, and I'll make sure they get set out, and here's the deadline. So my kids will make Mother's Day cards. I get to read them first, so you're going to be blessed by your cards today from our children. But the point is this, my kids see who she is. She's a woman of God. As they're getting older now, they see it. And it's influenced them. It will stay with them. I like this quote. "Mothers write on the hearts of their children what the rough hand of the world cannot erase." You see, you need to understand, moms, and I think you probably do have a good feel for this, is that God has called you and I to be ones that impart values to our children. Kids are like wet cement. Their character and their values, when they're little especially, but even so as they get older, we have influence. It's kind of like having wet cement and your praying hands. I think of this as praying hands of a mother impress on our children's heart. It's like cement. And eventually that cement's going to harden and the impressions that you've made, the influence you've had, will be solidified in their hearts and have a life-changing effect. Are you intentional? Are you thinking through that? Are you taking it seriously? You must be. God's called you to do that. Because here's a little tip for you, moms, is that your kids are going to get their values from somewhere. I believe God's hardwired us this way. In other words, children, when they're young, it's like they're sending out radar. You know, radar's going out. They're trying to figure out who they are in relation to the world. They're trying to figure out what's right, what's wrong, what they should do and not do, who loves them, who doesn't love them, where are my values coming from? Is this important or not important? And they're trying to figure that out. God's made us that way. And God has made you and your husband, the mother and the father, the primary influencer to give our kids values and influence them. Again, this is not passive. Deuteronomy 6 says we are to impress our children and talk about the Word of God while we walk along the road, when we at night at the dinner table, we're to write it on the door frames of our houses and on our gates. We are to impress intentionally God's truth on our children, and that will last for a lifetime. And this idea that our kids are going to get their values from someone, I just want to, you probably know this, but let me remind you that if you don't take it seriously to impress godly values on your children, there's a whole world out there that is just dying to teach your kids their values. In fact, they're some of the highest paid people on the planet, and their job is to influence your kids. That is absolutely true. Their whole job is to influence your kids to believe what they believe. And oftentimes that doesn't match up with what you believe, your values, things that you want to impart to your kids. So you have to be diligent. There was a study a while back in the New York Daily News. And it said this, and this was 4 years ago, so I guarantee you the numbers have probably exponentially increased. But back then, 4 years ago, the average child watched 3.36 hours of television or screen time a day. That added up to about 1,200 hours per year, which is one and a half years of watching television solid, 1.5 years before they're 11 years old. That's a big percentage of their life, watching TV. And again, I'm not making a judgment on what your kids watch or don't watch or what you're about, you know, how you, that's up to you. You got to figure that out. What I'm saying is that's a lot of influence, no matter what. And that's gone up, by the way. Has screen time gone down in our culture in the last 4 years? No, it's more. So that's more influence. That's what I'm trying to say. So if you want to have an influence and impart values to your children, then you've got a lot of battles to do because there's a lot of people out there that are trying to give your kids their values. And that's not even talking about the friends they hang out with. That's not talking about the teachers that are teaching them in public schools and in college. How are you going to win this battle? You're going to have to fight really hard. You're going to have to fight hard like Lois and Eunice, who impacted that young man and he changed the world. That's the kind of influence you can have on your children. God's got you to be a person of influence. That's his plan. And I think I just want to mention, I think I need to just mention this briefly. It's important for you to hear this, moms and dads, especially dads probably. But I want to say this, is if you have this philosophy, and I know there's a lot of people out there that would preach this philosophy as being noble and wise and politically correct and progressive, and this is some of the philosophy that's out there. If you believe that it's noble to have this philosophy of, I'm just going to let my kids figure out spirituality and religion. I'm just going to let them figure it out as they get older. And that may seem noble on the surface, but it's irresponsible at best to do that, because God has instructed you to impress them with what's true. Tell me, I'm just going to let my kids figure it out. I'll let them read this religion and this religion and this religion, and I'll just let them, I'm not going to impress on them. That's foolish. Parent, that's like saying I have a sick kid or a kid wants to know about how I can feel better, and you say, you open the medicine cabinet and go, I'm just going to let him figure it out. There's all kinds of medicine there. I'll just let him figure it out. That's irresponsible, because there's some medicine there that could hurt them, make them feel even sicker. There's medicine there that could kill them. But there is the one jar that's going to save them and heal them and help them and give them a better life. In life, men and women, when it comes to faith, there are a lot of medicines out there. Some will hurt you. Some will hurt your children. Some will kill your children. Some will send your kids to hell. But there's one bottle that will heal them and save them and help them, and that bottle is Jesus. He is the only one. And for you to sit back and say, no, I'm just going to let them figure it out, that is irresponsible. Jesus is the answer, and you impress it on your children. And don't be shy about it. Don't be shy about it. If you know it's the truth, then you should impress it on your children. If you don't know it's the truth, figure it out yourself, because it is the truth. And then tell them about Jesus. I just want to encourage you, moms, as the last point here. Moms, don't underestimate the power of your influence. This verse has been a verse I memorized a long time ago because it so impressed me. It says this in Proverbs 14:1, that a wise woman builds her house, but a foolish one tears hers down with her own hands. A foolish one with her own hands tears hers down. It's hard to imagine a loving mom or a loving wife that would want to tear her house down, but I've seen it over and over in my many years of doing ministry. I've seen the power that you have, and I've seen the power used for both good and for evil of a woman in a situation. Of course, men, your time is coming in a month. I'll talk about you. But right now, this verse right here says a wise one, you'll build your house up. But a foolish one, you'll tear yours down. My point is this, the power is in your hand. You have that power. I'm telling you, you have it, and you know you have it. Can I encourage you? Make sure that you're always building up your kids, always building up your husband, always building up your household. Don't tear it down. You'll do one or the other. Are you building up? If you do, you'll have a legacy. You'll have a legacy. Like, I just want to end with some good quotes. I put a bunch of quotes on your handout, by the way, so if you're looking to write a Mom's Day card, guys, you can put one of those quotes in there if you want to. Here's some good quotes we'll end with. Some famous people there. I could give you a whole list, but You'll see the consistency in what these men are saying. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great lecturer and poet, said, "Men are what their mothers made them. That's a profound statement from somebody who's worldwide known, you know. And how about this from Napoleon Bonaparte? He's pretty well known, pretty powerful guy. He said, the future destiny of the child is always the work of the mother. What he's saying is there's power. A wise woman will build her house. A foolish one will tear hers down. John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States, he said, all that I am, my mother made me. Not a little bit, not just a little influence, but all that I am, said the sixth president of our United States. Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. There's a consistency here, isn't there? George Washington said, I am what I am because of my mother. Not because of his military training, not because of his great wisdom. My mother. These are people who influenced the world. And then John Wesley, the great Methodist preacher, said, I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England. I say, amen. That's where it should be learned. That's where life should be learned. Women, moms, you have an opportunity to influence your children. You do. And let's just wrap it up with a quick summary. You have an opportunity to be a woman of sacrifice, like Moses' mother, to be courageous and have God bless your life and your family because of your courage. You have an opportunity to be a woman of prayer like Hannah, who prayed desperately and God heard her prayer. You have an opportunity to be women of influence like Lois and Eunice, who raised young Timothy with a sincere faith that changed the world. What's your legacy going to be? Ladies, I want to encourage you to be a mom worth imitating, not only for this generation, but for the generations to come. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Would you stand up, please? Stand up. We're going to have a last song as we pray. God, thank you for this time, and thank you for every mother in this room. I pray that today they would feel super honored, that you would remind them of what an amazing opportunity they have to bless their families, to pray for future generations, and to be an unbelievable influence in the lives of so many people through their children. Would you give them grace to be women of influence, women who are worth imitating? We thank you so much for an opportunity just to be reminded of what an awesome job, what an awesome responsibility, what an awesome thing it is to be a mom. And we honor them, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.